Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is very key to what we've been studying in the book of Jonah, and we continue to study in the book of Jonah. David wrote this song under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we understand. He wrote this song maybe in a time of despair, maybe in a time of wondering and doubt. Listen to how David expresses his heart here this morning, and maybe this is how your heart is feeling today. Psalm 139, David writes, he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou know my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thought afar off. Thou compassed my path and my lying down, and You are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up in heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. He simply says, God, no matter where I go, You are with me. Now, that could be a scary thing, but it could also be an encouraging thing. You wonder, God, do You even know I exist? God, do You even care that I'm on this earth breathing Your air? May I tell you, yes, God cares. He knows the very thoughts of our minds. He knows the very number of hairs on our head. He sees each sparrow as it falls, and He clothes the beauty of the flowers in this earth. May I tell you, God cares about the gigantic things, but He also cares about the smallest, infinite things. God cares. He sees you. He loves you. And He says, My dear child, I made you. Now come to me and bring your requests and desires to me. Let me talk to you. Let me show you. He's not turned His back on you. And He never will. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning. It's so comforting to know that You know us. It could be scary at times because You know us. But our Lord, I thank You that Your mercy and Your grace is available 24/7. You tell us to call upon You, to bring our requests unto You. You tell us, Lord, to trust in You. So this morning, I don't pretend to know the battles that we're fighting in this room. I only know mine. But God, none of them that any of us are dealing with are out of Your sight. I'm praying for peace and comfort for those who are struggling this morning. Maybe they're wondering if You even exist. Maybe they're wondering, do You even care? May You make it supremely evident in their lives today that You are indeed God and that You do care. Lord, there may be some this morning that are struggling with sin. Maybe they're involved in something that should not be going on. Would You convict them and draw them back to You that they repent and turn back? Maybe there's someone who needs encouragement. Maybe there's someone who just needs to know that You're there. I ask You, Lord, that we would trust in You today. That we would take confidence in knowing that You are indeed in control. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. And thank You for the forgiveness we find through the blood of Christ. For it's in his name we pray these things. Amen.
Good morning. I wanted to talk about, in case you're wondering why I talk about these guys a lot, I just think they're so cool. Anyway, these are some of our favorite missionaries that we support, the Shining Light Players, Steve and Alicia Burke and their whole family, and they're out of Florida, and they gather together people, mainly young adults, high school kids, and they go locally, put on plays for the glory of the Lord, present the gospel, and they go all over the place. And they just completed a tour, and the spring tour is just basically April. They went to about 10 different places. They did In His Steps. And here's the result. So what we're showing here is they're going to start, they're asking churches, we're going to pray about that, if they want the hiding place to come to their church and do a presentation. What they just did is In His Steps, another play that they do. And here's the result. So let's do a praise report. So they went to about 10 locations in April, very busy tour. And they had 17 different decisions for Christ during that time. So very good. And then he said he didn't even put a number. Countless others that wanted to surrender their lives fully to the Lord. So just a great ministry. They present the gospel clearly. But they put on a top rate. These guys are really good. They get numerous awards in the Christian category for performance. So, and I loved what they said. They met with one of their former performers in Washington, D.C. He now performs with a professional group that's Christian in Washington, D.C. at the Bible Institute. They got to stop there and see a play. And he said, "We're in this together." And what they mean is we want to take over the arts for the Lord. And so, praise the Lord. Don't we need that? And so that's their mission, that's their heart, and they're presenting the gospel. So I'm going to let the clip, this is the clip they're putting on their website. This is a little presentation of a preview of their Hiding Place musical.
You are my hiding place when life is
So let's pray for them as they go out. And they're just, like they said, they put on, just 2 days ago, they put on their social media, you know, looking for churches to sign up for them to perform that musical. So let's pray for them, and let's praise the Lord that their ministry is flourishing. Lord, we thank you for such a great, unique ministry and their mission to take over the arts for the Lord. And thank you for the success they've had, and we give you the glory for those that are committing themselves to the Lord after seeing and hearing their great performance. And we pray for the right churches, the right people, prepare hearts, and the performers to go on the road. Pray for protection and peace. Pray for a little rest as they just came home from their tour. And just pray that you encourage them, keep them safe from the evil one, and just give them blessings this weekend, even right now, as they go to church. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Scott. Good one. Come on forward. We'll take up our offering. Amen. Come on forward, fellas. Amen. Praise the Lord for what he did this past weekend and the weeks are for the yard sale. Taryn, do you want to give us a quick update about how God blessed?
So, I'll be honest, I was kind of nervous on Saturday. I told Sarah last night, I've been to a lot of yard sales, been a part of a lot of them. And the end of the month just tends to not work out most of the time. But that just goes to show God has a bigger plan than what we have. And he has a bigger ability than what we have.
Amen.
And so yesterday, and it was, 7:15, people were already starting to come. And by the end of the day, we raised over $3,000.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you guys for donating. Thank you for allowing our teams to be a part of our church. And it's awesome to see what God is doing with us. And what he will continue to do.
Amen. Please pray for Humphrey.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for our community. We thank you for a place where we can openly worship you. And God, we thank you for all the many blessings. Mm-hmm. And I'm overwhelmed in a great way sometimes by your love and grace for us. But I thank you that you have placed me for such a time as this to serve you. God, I pray for this offering. I pray that it would be for the upbuilding of your kingdom. God, that everything we do here in this church body is behind you, that you are the forefront of what we do. God, hide us all behind your cross. Let people see you in our lives. God, we thank you for what you're going to do through this offering and through our church in time to come. God, we love you and we praise you.
Amen.
Good morning. If everybody will stand, take a church hymnal if you'd like. Number 113 in your church hymnal will also be on the screen. Glory to his name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. Heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to second verse now. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Sing now. Glory to y'all fellowship around? Good.
Children's church.
Children can be dismissed to children's church also. Children's church. Sing a couple verses of one another song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, 368 in your church hymnals, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Sing it out together now. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus. Last verse now. Last verse. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated if you would.
Amen. Open your Bibles up to the book of Jonah. Find Obadiah and go write one book. If you guys can put those slides up for me, I'd greatly appreciate it. There we go. The book of Jonah, demonstrating the characteristics of our awesome God. A lot of us know the story of Jonah. Some of us are not familiar with the story of Jonah, and that's okay. I'm hoping by the time that we get done with Jonah in about a year, that you'll know Jonah back and forth, up and down, sideways, back ways, and all those different ways. See, the book of Jonah is not just about a great fish and not just about him being swallowed and going to Nineveh. The entire book of Jonah is demonstrating the characteristics of our awesome God. And as we go through the book of Jonah, I want you to mark some particular things as we go through it. Let me show the next slide. I want you to see the omniscience of God.
I want you to see and understand that God hears, sees, and knows everything all the time. The omniscience of God. We read about that in Psalm 139 this morning. He sees all, He hears all, He knows everything. Next thing we're going to find out and see continually in this book is His omnipresence. He is everywhere. There's never a place that you can go that He's not already there. There's never a place that you can leave that He hadn't already been with you as you're leaving. God is with you all the time. There's nothing and nowhere that you could be that God is not there present with you. We saw that in Psalm 139 this morning also. The next thing we learn about God, His omnipotence. He is all powerful. He is able to create anything, anytime, and He's in total control of it. Hold your finger right here if you would. I want to illustrate this to you. Go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. We'll come back to Jonah in just one second. But go to the book of Colossians. It's in the New Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. So the New Testament, one of the books that Paul wrote, or the Holy Spirit used Paul to write from prison. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" Here's something very key for us to understand. It answers a lot of questions we have in this life. He says, "For by Him," who? Jesus Christ. "For by Him were all things created." Everything. And then he goes on and gets very specific. "Everything that is in heaven and everything that is on the earth, everything that is visible and everything that is invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Very key to understand this, because we're going to get into this in just a few moments. "And He is before all things," and underline this particular part of the verse in verse 17. "And by Him all things consist." He is all powerful. He's the one in total control of all things. When you wake up tomorrow morning and you hear the news that this has taken place here, that this person has done this, that this event has taken place here, do not fret. Do not be concerned, because God is in control all the time. "Well, Brother Brian, what about this?" Just remember this. Every time that God doesn't have His hand in the situation. Now, kind of scary. And it creates even more questions sometimes. But remember, He's not only the creator, He's the sustainer. There's nothing that has ever happened that He's not aware of. There's nothing that's ever been made that He has not made. I love these beautiful mountains and the streams and the trees. Now, I'm going to talk to Him when I get to heaven about three things that He made that I'm not sure about. Pollen, mosquitoes, and English peas, all right? Those three things, I'm going to talk to Him. I know He made them, but I can't see. I can see the pollen. I don't see any sense of mosquitoes, and especially English peas. I guess hogs got to eat something. I don't like English peas. Ugh, nasty things. All right? But here's the issue. God never makes mistakes. God never, ever, ever does something out of bounds. He's in control of all things at all times. So remember that as we go through the book of Jonah. Now go back to Jonah. So we see His omniscience, we see His omnipresence, we see His omnipotence.
Here's some other things that we see about him. Next slide, fellas. We see his love for all mankind, regardless of what people look like on the outside, his love of all mankind. We see his desire to use anyone. We see his patience. We see his grace. We see his mercy. And we see his forgiveness. Those are the main attributes. Now we're going to see a lot of others, but those are the main attributes. As we go through the book of Jonah, if you will look for those things, you can write down, as I have in my Bible, write down maybe a letter that demonstrates these different things. So as this morning, as we look at these three or four verses that we look at this morning, find God's characteristic as we look at each one of these. Okay? So let's go to the book of Jonah, verse number 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh,'" which is a great city, a big city, not something nice, but a big city. "And I want you to cry against it. I want you to repeat. I want you to preach this. And I want you to tell them that their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish," which was the exact opposite direction. "And he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, into the ship, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." He thought he could run. He thought that he could get far away from Nineveh, and if he got far away from Nineveh, God surely didn't want to use him. "I'm going to hide from God. I'm going to do what I want to do my way, and if I do that, then maybe God will change his mind." Aren't some of us just like that this morning? "I know God wants me to do this, so if I do the exact opposite, maybe God will regret asking me to do that and he'll pick somebody else." May I tell you, that does not work. Look at verse number 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea." We see his omnipotence there. "And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The storm came up that was so raging and so full of power that the ship was going to be broken half." You see God's omnipotence, but there's also something you see here also. You see God's mercy. And you say, "Wait a minute, how do you see God's mercy? The ship was not broken up. Even though the storm was raging, and even though the possibility of it breaking and being destroyed was very apparent, God said, 'No, I'm not going to do that.'" Did you know that when the storms of life come, that God is not necessarily interested in you dying? He's interested in showing you his mercy. May I stand before you this morning and tell you, I am thankful for God's mercy. Him not giving me what I deserved. Because if we were all honest in here this morning, we could raise our hands and say, "Oh God, thank you for not giving me what I deserved. Thank you for not judging me and condemning me like I justly deserve. Thank you, God, for your mercy." This ship could have easily been destroyed. But God said, "No, I'm going to show mercy to the people on that ship. I'm going to keep them alive." Look at the very next verse. It says in verse 5, "Then the mariners," those who were sailing on the ship, those all the sailors, "they were afraid and they cried, every man unto his God." Little g, conviction. God was doing it. Now, the problem was that these mariners, they were sailors, they were understanding these storms. They've been through many of them before. But this storm must have been so bad that they had to panic. They were scared to death. They didn't know what to do. And they began to cry unto their God. Look what it says after that. "And then they started casting forth everything that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." They started getting rid of everything that wasn't tied down. They were throwing cargo overboard. They were throwing all kinds of different things. Please, something to keep the ship floating. They were scared to death and they didn't know what to do. That's what the world is right now. That's what society is right now. You see all the things taking place in New York and California and Texas, even here in North Carolina. You see the all events taking place, and people are panicking, and they don't know what to do, and they're trying everything. They're crying out to this situation, and they're trying this method, and they're trying this means, and they're doing everything they can, and they're confused, and they're scared, because they don't know what to do. We see it. Let me ask you this morning, are you scared and confused this morning? Are you panicking? Are you wondering what to do? You've cried out to this, and you've tried this, and you've tried this, and nothing is bringing peace. I dare say that there's people in this room that are doing that. And may I dare confess to you, I've done that. I've been scared and confused. And I've tried different things to bring myself peace and to bring me happiness and joy, and those things last temporarily. Because guess what happens? It brings a little bit of peace, and then you've got to have more of whatever it is to bring peace again. And then pretty soon it gets out of control and you don't know what to do. That's what these sailors were going through. They were scared. The ship was breaking apart and they were getting rid of everything. But it still didn't bring peace. Now, why did they react this way? Watch this. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he was laying down, and he was fast asleep. How many of you are married to someone that could sleep through thunderstorms? All right. How many, and I'm not going to go there, but we're married. It just seems like they can sleep through a tornado coming through right next door. They sleep through it. Jonah, how in the world is Jonah sleeping? He's running away from God. And he knows it. Yet he's still sleeping in the middle of the storm. I love what the captain does. It says the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God," little big G, "if so be that God will think upon us and that we perish not." We've tried everything. Man, we've tried getting rid of all the equipment. We've tried getting rid of all the cargo, and the ship is still sinking and the storm is still raging. How in the world can you be asleep? Jonah, what's going on? Wake up. Cry out to your God. They're willing to try anything now. May I tell you, there are people in your life, work, school, home, that are trying everything they can to find peace. They're trying any God, they're trying any substance, and nothing's working. You may be the only steady light in their life. And they're coming to you saying, "Why aren't you panicking? Why aren't you scared?" What a great opportunity that you can stand up and say, "Because I know the living and true God. I know Him." There's some of you that need you to say, "I know Jesus. Let me tell you about Him." Jonah, maybe if you pray to your God, it'll be okay. And they said, everyone to his fellow, all the sailors, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know who's caused this evil upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. What they probably did, and we're not exactly sure, when they would cast lots, they took a bag. And I'm wondering in my mind, how in the world could they do this in the middle of a raging storm? The boat's doing this, and they're crying, and they're puking, and all kinds of stuff going on, and they're panicking. They've tried praying, and they've tried throwing things off, and nothing's succeeding, so maybe let's gamble. People's minds go places that we never understand when they're in a lot of stress. They take a bag and they start, I don't know if they get pieces of a stone or wood and put names on it, and they're going to shake. They're hoping maybe that God will reveal to them who's causing all this. And they shake up the bag real good. And whose name do they pull out? Pull out Jonah's. I can just see Jonah. He's sitting there and all this stuff is going on, and he's thinking to himself, I did it. This is on me. My bad. My bad. And he's praying, oh, please don't let my name be revealed. I don't want anybody to know that this is me. Please, please, God. They pull his name out. They said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is your occupation? And where are you coming from? What is your country and what people? Who are you? You're calm and you're collected and nothing's going right for us. What have you done to us, Jonah? Hold your finger here and go to Proverbs chapter 16 real quick. I want to show you something. Proverbs chapter number 16. Man thinks they know the answer to everything. But God's the one that reveals. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 33. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap. What we think is an obvious answer. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Man thinks they can solve the problem, but God is the one that makes it really happen the way it should happen. How did that lot get chosen? Of all the sailors on that ship, how in the world did Jonah's lot get chosen? Because that's exactly what God wanted to happen. Now, that's kind of scary. When you think that you're running from God and you think you're getting away with it and you think everything is going smooth, may I tell you, God's will never be thwarted. God's will never be prevented. God's will is going to be done. I ran from God. I can tell you that right now. I ran as far away as I got saved over in Germany. I was stationed in Florida and I wasn't living for God. God saw it, God knew it, God understood it, and I thought that I had left God in Germany. But God was just waiting for me to come back to myself. He knew what He had in store. He knows what He has in store for you. He knows exactly what He's got, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room could stand up and say, Brother Brian, God knew and God knows what He wants from my life. May I tell you, you can't run from God. So God allowed me to run. And finally it came to the point where God said, enough is enough. I had no clue what was about to take place. He got my attention. My lot was cast and revealed that it was me. So what did I do? I stopped running. I did a complete 180 and I turned back to God because I'd rather serve God than to live in the world anymore. The world is not satisfying. The world is not pleasing. But my God, He satisfies. My God is the one that's in control. So I ran back to Him. Jonah, he's being forced to go back. No, he's not being... Could Jonah have said, no, I don't know who this is? I think it would have gotten worse for him. If I'd have said that day to God, no, I ain't going back to you. I don't care what you want, God. This is... Would God have let me do that? Yeah. Would I enjoy it? No. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone this morning and He's saying, hey, come back. come back. And you're sitting there with your heels dug in, say, I ain't going. I don't want it. God says, you can fight me all you want, but my will is going to be done. Jonah says, it's me. And they ask him, Jonah, what is your deal? What's the problem? Why is this going on? And he said unto them in verse 9, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Whew. That took a lot, because Hebrews were not well-liked people. Matter of fact, some people believe that these sailors were probably anti-Hebrew, anti-Semitic, like we're seeing nowadays. They didn't believe in the living and true God. And he's opening himself up now to death from them. I'm a Hebrew. But you know, he's starting to change in his voice. I fear the Lord. The God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Not only has God made the sea, but he's also made the dry land. Suddenly Jonah became unashamed of God. Suddenly Jonah said, it's me. I messed up. I'll admit to who I am. When I was called into the commander's office, he asked me a bunch of pointed questions. I could have sat there and lied to him. But I knew what God was doing. And I answered every single one of them true. Because I knew that it was time. Jonah could have lied. My name's Ralph. I'm from South Alabama. And I like Auburn football. And he could have said all those dumb things. You know what I'm saying? But no, he admitted he was a Hebrew. And he admitted that he worshipped the living and true God. Because he knew his lying days were over. Look at me. May I tell you, your lying days are over. Maybe you don't know it yet, but your lying days are over. Now look how they reacted to it. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. Why were they afraid? Oh no. We've got someone running against the living and true God. Now what are we going to do? How do we react to this? And they said unto him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had just confessed it to him. He had just told them, oh no. Now we're not only fighting the sea, we're fighting the omnipotent God. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee? How can we make the sea be calm? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. How can we solve this problem, Jonah? What do we do? Now, wait a minute. Things been working. How do they know that Jonah's God is going to solve the problem? How do they know that? The Holy Spirit? They also knew who the Hebrew God was and his mighty power. They knew the truth, but they didn't want to listen to it. God is demonstrating his omnipotence over this whole situation, and he's making even the heathen to bow down. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. Right now, the world society hates God, wants nothing to do with God, hates Jesus Christ. But one day, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you're sitting in this room this morning and you're fighting it, I don't want nothing to do with Him. Won't you come to Him this morning and confess that and let Him lovingly show you? These mariners were scared to death. They didn't know what to do. They thought, oh no, we've done messed up. This guy's on our boat. Here's his answer. And he said to them, take me up and cast me into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Just go and throw me in the water, fellas. I'm the reason. Now, how many of you agree? This seems like a far-fetched solution. I think it's a far-fetched. They've been trying everything. Praying, throwing things off, casting lots, anything. You want us to throw you into the sea? Can I tell you that sometimes God's solutions, they seem out there, but they're exactly what He intends. So what do? They agreed to it. No, look at verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. We're not doing that. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And they cried unto the Lord, the living God, and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. It's not our fault. And lay not this innocent blood, for thou, our Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. We're tired of fighting this, God. We'll do it your way now. That's what I said when I got back to my dorm. I hit my knees, literally. And I said, God, I'm tired of fighting this. You've been pricking me. You've been convicting me. And I've been fighting it off. God, I give up. I surrender. I surrender. And then He said, speaking to my heart, you know what today is? I said, yes, it's Wednesday. He says, I want you to go back to that church that you rejected. The place where people invited you to go. I want you to go back to that church tonight. And I want you to go back and start going to church there. You know what I did? I got up, changed my clothes, put some cologne on, and I went to church. Now, church started at 6 o'clock there. I sat in the parking lot from 4:30 to 6 o'clock. I could not wait to get in there. I went in as this fellow named Brother Hales. I walked in and I said, I introduced myself. And he says, you know what? We got a lot of pretty young ladies that come to church here. And I said, I don't care. God told me to be here, and I'm here. Now, lo and behold, several years later, the most beautiful woman in the entire universe showed up. That lady right there. There was indeed a lot of pretty ladies, but none of them were as gorgeous as her. God knew what He was doing. And I'm glad that I finally shook off my pride. So they took up Jonah, verse 15, and they cast him into the sea. And as soon as his backside hit the water, the sea ceased from its raging. There's God's omnipotence. There's God's mercy on the sailors. There's God's complete control of Jonah's life. And you say, Brother Brian, are you telling me that the sea really stopped raging as soon as Jonah hit the water? Exactly right. Because if that's a lie, how in the world do you know what to tell the truth is? This is just an allegory. No, it's not. I believe this literally happened. The sailors are safe, but not Jonah. Verse 17. Now the Lord prepared, there's his omniscience, his omnipotence. God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. See, this is where a lot of scholars think, well, this is just an allegory. There's no whales in the Mediterranean Sea. The Bible doesn't say it was a whale. Now, Jesus later on refers to it as a whale, but we'll talk about that more next week. Is God capable of creating a creature large enough to swallow a human being? Is God capable of putting that creature in the Mediterranean Sea where we don't usually see them? So why isn't God capable of handling your situation? Why isn't God able to take care of what you're dealing with? Why isn't God capable of directing your life? I don't like it when you do that, Brother Brian. I don't either. But you know what? I like it that God can do those things. See? His love for all mankind, His desire to use anyone, His patience, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. We see it all over this. Next week, we'll talk about Jonah spending 3 days and three nights in the fish motel. We'll talk about that next week. Are you running from God this morning? Has God called you to something? God spoken to you? God directed you? God trying to help you follow His will, and you've been running as far as you can? If you are, may I beg of you, stay out of the fish motel and come back to Him. Can I tell you? Running from God stinks. But He's still there with you. He hadn't abandoned you. He hadn't left you. He's saying, come back to me, my child. I love you. God doesn't hate you. God's not angry with you. It may seem like the situation that you're dealing with, that he's not angry with you. The only enemies of God are those who don't know God. May I tell you, if you know Jesus Christ your Savior, God's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. He just simply says, my child, come back to me. I love you. Even those up in the balcony, He loves you too. Come back to Him. Don't do like I did and run as hard as you could. My dad used to whoop me, and I could feel it for days afterwards. Many of you could probably attest to the same thing. May I tell you, God's spiritual whoopings, you know when they happen. But I'm glad He whoops me because I belong to Him. Come back to Him this morning. Maybe you got a loved one or friend who's running. Why don't you pray for them that they'll come back to God? Don't give up. God's still in control. But maybe this morning you're walking with God. Maybe this morning He doesn't need to whoop you because guess what? You're walking with Him and you're doing it. Praise the Lord. Why don't you tell Him thank you? Why don't you say, God, thank you for being merciful to me, and thank you, God, for letting me do this. You don't always have to be on the bad side to pray to him. You can pray to him when things are going good. Tell him thank you this morning. Let's all stand together this morning. I don't know what